Good morning, all. It is Kitchen Cabinet Day, and right now we can call the cabinet meeting to order. Our contrarian environmentalist, Mr. Chris Horner, Competitive Enterprise Institute in Washington, D.C., the guest of the Garrison Show. Chris, you spent a long time in and out of that puzzle palace they call the Capitol or the Congress there. So I ask you, with sort of the inside view of things, Are we going to have to blink? Is it just a question of time until we get stuck with some kind of taxes because the pressure is going to go that way? Or could we really see Republicans saying, not now, not ever?
I think if you the Wall Street Journal took about 800 words to lay it out this morning, what I'll say in about 50. But I think if you game out how things actually tend to play out and the distinction in the relative of the respective pulpits, and of course media treatment getting the message out, you'll see that ultimately the Republicans are slowly, if with the best of intentions, and responding to public demand and desire, the Republicans are slowly maneuvering themselves into a corner whereby they would end up extending the debt ceiling and raising taxes. Nothing anybody but the president wants to do and his Democrat allies. But something that they are slowly maneuvering themselves into a corner to do. And I'll sum it up by saying it would lead to, well, this is an excerpt, it would lead to retreat, ultimately, as these things always do when the deadline comes and the media start doing their thing. But chaotic retreats are the ugliest of all. And you would do as happened time and time again, and I'll give you some examples, or at least one that I had very first-hand experience with. You'd end up taking the beating and getting the worst policy outcome. And that's usually, I've joked before with you, after we get our rear ends handed to us, meet back here. That's usually the Republicans' plan B. And I flew down to Austin in 2000 after George W. Bush came out with a Green Group president, having been snookered in a meeting and gave a press conference and said, I believe in man-made global warming and the need to act and so on. And I flew down there, a media mente, and met with someone who is got a very high political profile, so I won't mention who it was. But the person said, look, as I laid out, you're talking about on this issue, you're maneuvering yourself into a corner, as Republicans tend to do, and you're going to end up giving them what they want and taking the beating, just like his father did on the treaty that led to Kyoto.
Read my lips,
yeah. And the Treaty of Kyoto and everything else. You end up holding fast until you don't. And it's sort of like, as the Journal also said, quoting Phil Graham, never take a hostage you're not prepared to shoot. But in this case, it's, well, okay, I think that perfectly applies. And so ultimately, when the pressure gets too much, they buckle. They've taken a beating. They've dropped in the polls, and we get the worst policy outcome because they have no leverage. That's what led us to Kyoto. That's what he flew down there holding off a couple weeks. And then John Sununu said, okay, look, you're getting the heck kicked out of you because it's from Tennessee's down there demanding, where's George, save the planet. You fly down there, you agree to the treaty anyway after you lost the issue, and you have no leverage. And the Senate rushes to ratify it faster than all but two countries in the world, Seychelles and Mauritius. And we have Kyoto next in a few years. This is their plan. It all comes down to, as the Journal said, never, quoting Graham, never take a hostage you're not prepared to shoot, and retreats, chaotic retreats are the ugliest kind. So all of which is to say that while McConnell's response that, okay, look, we will pass in a very convoluted way the ability for the president to simply raise the debt ceiling on his own, it's a procedural knot, but that's what they would do. And then he gets the whole political fall. And people are screaming about this. And at first you see what you're giving up. But then you realize ultimately you're giving up whatever leverage you have. I'm not sure you really have any. So think through the McConnell plan of just saying, look, we're willing to put this whole thing in your lap because at the end of the day, we won't end up actually doing anything but being confronted with the prospect of raising the debt ceiling and taking a tax increase. Because if you game it out, and you game out how this is certain to progress, not where we think we are and who's playing their hand better, is, again, I recommend the Journal's lead editorial to you today. They said the Republicans may have played the game better, but the president holds more cards. And that is true. That is true. If you really wanted, now part of this is being Republicans. If you really wanted, as I keep telling people, to see how the House, the real power of the House, give the Republicans control of the White House and the Senate and the Democrats the House, and you'll see just how powerful that purse is. You'll see how the House is really to be used if you are in that position. But the Republicans don't play this game as well as the Democrats. So given what we have, it may be sufficient to just say, tell you what, he's trying to change the issue for 2012, and it looks like he really could. Don't let him.
It's just so in the end, it's still working out. So we keep losing pawns and knights and castles, and they keep backing us further into the corner where they're going to get the checkmate.
Right, and because ultimately what he's going to do is say that the economy is partly the Republicans' fault. He will have that argument if most any scenario you game this out, except just saying, okay, look, I tell you what, I'm going to make it clear. You've yet to show a plan. There's no, as the CBO had said, we don't score speeches. There is no Obama plan. The only plan you've proposed was your budget, which increased the debt and the deficit. So tell you what we're going to do is just let you, if you want to raise the debt ceiling so badly, we're not going to do it with a tax increase. We'll just do it without. We will decouple. We'll just do it without deficit reduction. We'll give you the unilateral authority to do it through a fairly convoluted procedural maneuver, but clearly leaving it solely in his lap, because what he's trying to do is he realizes he can't run on his record. He realizes he can't run on the economy. The only thing he can do is demagogue. And yes, he's like Charles Krauthammer made a good point. You don't telegraph things anymore. You tweet them or signal them. But he's signaling that that's his move. And he needs to find a way to pin the economy on the Republicans. And this is actually a pretty good way. So if things stop right now, the Republicans have done a fairly good job. But things aren't going to stop right now. And if you game out where they go from here, most of them end up by saying, you're going to look back and say, all told, it would have been nice if we could have just left this in his lap, because he's the one who's insisting that the debt ceiling be raised without entitlement reform and so on. But he's also insisting with a tax increase. At least you get out without the tax increase, and you get out without having the economy pinned to your sweater.
Well, it's it looks okay. Only Republicans can get together and find a way to snatch defeat from the jaws of victory. They can't. Matter of fact, I saw last night, looking at some of the late writing, that there's a lot of folks that don't think that a tax increase can get through either house, no matter what the leadership does with the president. And do you think that that's accurate? Could they get that far and just not be able to control their own people?
I don't know. I have to say I was a little surprised by that light bulb vote yesterday. The Democrats held firm with, I think, only 10 of them or fewer voting to repeal the light bulb ban. And I got to tell you, you go to any town hall, it just embodies so much about what's going on. Mm-hmm. The light bulb ban really gets to people. And the Democrats were able to get almost all of their caucus to say, no, let's keep the light bulb ban in place. So maybe...
Did it lose anyway?
It lost, yeah, because it was on suspension. It needed two-thirds so that they could avoid amendments and so on. So it failed. It needed two-thirds votes. Five Republicans defected.
So we're still stuck with those damn curlicue light bulbs.
Yeah. And don't drop them unless you come up for a grassroots lobbying event in the House and to show them what you're there to protest against. And if somebody happens to slip and fall and drop a case of those things, make sure you videotape it. I'm not suggesting anything.
Yeah.
I just think that if you show people what Congress would do if these things were dropped in the House that mandated these be put in your House, well, maybe you'd get a repeal.
Yeah.
I'm not suggesting it.
I had a listener yesterday call up and report that one of the things had exploded, and had he not been standing, it would have set his house on fire.
Right.
I mean, it went up like a little Roman candle in the top of the lamp that was plugged into. Chris Horner, our guest, right back with a bunch more, speaking of which, we'll just touch that for sure. Stick around. We're back to work. I've been terribly distracted from the subject matter of today's work by Mr. Meyer. I dock his pay, but he doesn't work for me, so I'm just going to have to laugh at him anyway. He sure got my attention. Back to work, my friends. Chris Horner, the guest of the Garrison Show. Chris, before we get on into kind of an update on efforts to pull the pants the rest of the way down on the global warming fraud. We have quite the debate going on between the pros and the cons. And matter of fact, your successor in interest, who will give his report next in the kitchen cabinet, Jed Babin, thinks that McConnell's idea is a good one. Tell me how you handicap what Senator McConnell has said and why all the stink in the Wall Street Journal that it was a bad idea. Debt limit Harry Carey, according to the Wall Street Journal.
Well, I think what they're saying is McConnell's plan is actually not as it was initially received. I think the reaction to McConnell's plan, they're saying to Harry Carey, pardon me, I'm at my car serviced as I tend to do on Wednesdays when speaking to you. the Harry Carey is on the part of the Republicans who are saying, tell you what, we're going to insist on holding until the end this argument that we won't, no tax increases. Except the president's now saying, and we'll, you know, do, and we don't know how it plays out. Remember, Bill Clinton refused to sign the spending bills. And he was able to say, when he vetoed it, that the Republicans shut down government. Now, that took some real gymnastics on the part of the media and on him. But also, you had Newt Gingrich helpfully saying, what? Well, yeah, you bet I did, which was really stupid. But no, if the Congress passes its spending obligations and the president refuses to sign it, the president shuts down government. But it worked once. So now Obama's saying, gee, when those nice Social Security checks you got here, be a shame if I didn't send them out on August 3rd. I tend to think that you could win that one because it's so demonstrably true that it's up to them which money not to spend, because we have, as it's going to become increasingly understood, we have the revenue coming in to satisfy the debt obligations. It's just what prioritization occurs among the other spending obligations. And I don't know. Would he win? He's got a much better platform. But what McConnell is saying is ultimately, you know what? We know what he's going to do, and we know how it probably plays out, and we know that these things tend to end up, for whatever reason, with us accepting the thing we refused, having taken a beating politically, and getting the worst of the policy options, all of them, because we lost all our leverage. And so what the debt limit Harry Carey, or whatever the journal's piece is called, is saying McConnell's piece, give it some thought, let it seep, and think about it, because I responded to it. I didn't write anything because that would have required thinking about it at least a little. I just responded to it negatively, saying you're giving up all your leverage. But what McConnell's saying is ultimately you're going to end up losing having no leverage anyway. And we know how this thing plays out, so why don't we just say, tell you what, you can run around saying it was because of me raising the debt limit that I sent those Social Security checks out on August 3rd, and we're going to say, I hope you're not saying you wouldn't have sent those out because it was entirely up to you. And then next he's saying, I won't pay the soldiers. Really? Of all of the ways to not spend money, that's where you start. Well, that's what they do. No firemen or teachers. The feds generally don't fund those directly. McConnell, what the journal's saying is McConnell's piece requires a little bit of thought. Don't get knee-jerk on this, because if you game this out, he's probably right.
Okay. Well, I can hope that's going to be the way. We're going to get a good conversation all morning long, I think, with regard to this thing as it begins to flesh out today. All right. Chris Horner, our guest. And, of course, Chris has got battles fighting on two fronts, one against the University of Virginia and one against NASA, trying to get the true, right, and correct information about how the global warming boys and girls have been fooling with the books and refusing to play by the rules. How goes the lawsuit? Because each week I want to get a little closer to what we're up to here.
Yeah, we're about 5 weeks out from getting the first most of the records, I assume, at UVA, August 22nd. We get all of them in electronic format, which they've refused on every way. They've refused to provide and refused to provide an electronic format. And then we're going to see what the university is withholding and insists on taking to the court, which I think they've already upset somewhat. So if they want to go in there with all 9,000 pages challenging all of them, that's up to them. But I think the judge is going to be less than pleased. So they're going to withhold some tranche for release on September 24th electronically, which we will then go over and say these are the ones we want to fight over. But we're going to get what I assume is the lion's share in 5 weeks, and we'll go over those, and those that they think they have to withhold for some reason. And the reasons, this is curious, because what I'm seeing, as we discussed, the big science and big academia are formulating the arguments they're trying to support for the university to create, I think, and that is sort of a proprietary exemption. We're stopping Michael Mann from publishing in the future about the hockey stick if they release data and so on. That's not really a substantive objection, but that's one we're seeing being kicked around in the public sphere, which I suggest is probably somewhat directly or indirectly in communication with the university. NASA, DOJ did call and say they accept service, and we expect to call from them soon asking us what we want to go away. And if they read the complaint, they'll find out. It's very simple. We want to know if Hansen has filed these one-page applications for permission for outside employment or other activity, which has proven extremely lucrative for this guy, adding about $280,000 per year on top of his $180,000 taxpayer salary, for the same work.
Yeah, to do the same job.
Yeah. So no real movement there, except we're seeing them try to figure out, at least on the UVA front, how they're going to handle this. We're not seeing that from the university. We're seeing it from what I'll call their allied community. But we've got some other things cooking that are related, and I spent the weekend doing something that you'll probably end up hearing about, but the global warming industry is coming after other academics now, trying to ruin them if they've gotten in the way, trying to set examples. And there are two of them, one of whom is being sued by Michael Mann and an IPCC lead author because he looks like a good defendant, I suggest, because he's retired, probably has no insurance, no academic or university or corporate or other backing, and can possibly be bullied into saying, okay, I'm sorry, to set an example for speech, criticizing them. And the other one is an academic who dared stand in the way of the hockey stick, and he's got, if I told you, and someday I will, but I'm involved so I can't, he's got all of these forces coming down trying to ruin him because he dared expose the hockey stick for what it was. So these guys, this is a gravy train of billions. It's not, you created it. It's not going, and by the way, if the person wants to stop writing checks, why don't you start there on the global warming industry?
Yeah, there you go.
It's not going away.
All right, my friend, God bless. Take care of yourself. Of course, we want to get back to a whole lot more with Chris, but the news is next on 93 WIBC.